Did you come into the house of the Lord ready to give him your praise?
Yes.
Amen. And stand at his feet and worship him?
Yes.
Amen. That is why we are here. Yeah? Amen. Iron sharpens iron. To love one another, to get to worship together, and to come before his presence and let him speak to us. Amen? And let him change us and mold us to love like him, to think like him. You know, his thoughts are higher than ours. Amen? And his ways are higher than our ways. And we want to think like him. We want to walk like him, and we want to love like him. I want to hear like him. I don't want to hear through my ears. My ears are tainted, right? There's things in my life that I've done that have hardened a heart that the Lord is softening, and it's a process. But God has none of that. Man, when he hears, even if somebody's yelling and screaming and mad and angry, what he hears is, they're hurt, they're broken, and I need to set them free, and I love them. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we want. So we're going to get into worship, and I just encourage you. This is a place, if you've not been here before, we welcome you, and we're glad you're here today. But this is a place that freedom in worship is, we're going to shout. You might see somebody dancing. You might see somebody get up and run. You'll see people raising their hands, and this is surrender to the Lord. This is, I worship you, I surrender, do what you do. Amen? So you may see all of that. All of that is in the Word of God. And if I'm going to get excited over a football game, and I was excited over a High States football game last night. I didn't watch it, but I saw the score, and I'm like, yes. But if I'm going to get excited over that, I'm going to even more get excited over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. So let's worship today. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Lead me out of the living water. You're my wellspring, you're stirring. My life is something dark. Eyes are open to the unseen. And my faith is rising within. There's a moment now, sing it out loud. So I'm moving deeper, deeper, deeper.
This is how I fight my battles. Cause this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. Come on, somebody needs to put one foot in front of the other this morning. Maybe you need to lift your hand. Maybe you need to lift your voice a little higher this morning. But we don't fight in the natural. I fight it too. It says it's in against spirit. Against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So we gotta fight in the spirit this morning. You gotta fight with praise. You gotta fight with worship. With the name of Jesus this morning. Cause this is how I fight my battle. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 And this is how I fight my battles. This is how.
When you stand on the field, every power. Was speaking to me about how our battles won when we were singing that song, and he actually was showing me our battles are not won just down on our hands and knees or just lifting our hands. Our battle is won by speaking it. What we say speaks life and death to our situation. Because he is on the inside of us. All we have to do is speak the outcome in his name. That's the authority that we have. So we need to stop watching what we say and what we speak, because that determines your destiny and your victory.
Thank you. Lord says this day, rise up, my church. Lift your heads, my sons and daughters, to me. Where thou comest, thou help. Your help comes from me and me alone. I told you not to look to the left or to the right because your resources are not there. You will only find them in me, and me you need now more than ever. I have called you, my church, to stand and be my hands and my feet, and be my hands and feet you shall, or you will be left behind. I have loved you from the beginning of time. I have created you and formed you and brought you to this moment for such a time as this. You will heed the call, but you will need to bring yourself so close to me. Move when I move. Stand still when I stand still. Listen for my voice. You will need my instructions now. Do not waver. Do not fear. Do not falter. For I am with you. I have gone before you. And I loved you and I created you to do just as what I'm calling you now. So stay close to me, my children. Stay close to me, my church. And we will walk through this together.
You come, will you meet me here again?
is all you are. Will you meet me here again? I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all.
If it's bandaging the broken or washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree, here I am. Serve you just the same. Here I am, Lord, send me. On the mountain, on the valley, I'll choose the praise. Here I am, Lord, send me.
Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy. Here we are. Send us, Lord. Here we are. Hallelujah. Am I on? Yeah? Sounds weird. Just me. Push it in. I'm used to being super, super loud with my other mic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay. If any of you haven't met me before, I'm not in a rush to get out of Jesus' presence at all. Amen. I feel his presence here, and I feel he's moving and he's doing something. He's waking up a generation saying, it's time for the sleep and the slumber to be over. It's time for the mundane walk that you've had with me to be over. And it's time to get serious about me. It's time for us to get up and stop complaining, stop looking at circumstances, stop wondering why me, in difficult situations. Listen, they persecuted Jesus, they're going to persecute you. You haven't gone through anything that somebody else hasn't already gone through. Now, I hate that you have gone through it. I hate that I've gone through it. But it should never be a reason that stops you from serving God with your full heart. He's the one that's going to set you free. He's the one that's going to remove the pain. He is the one that's going to lead you through these things that you've been going through and get you on the other side. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to have a special person that knew about 10 o'clock that he was going to do offering today. Come out and do offering. Pastor Jared, I'm telling you, when Phil leaves, I don't think about offering. I think about the word and what he's trying to tell me. So thank you, Pastor.
Thank you,
Jared,
for plenty of time. Always appreciate that blessing. No, I'm just kidding. Be instant in season, in and out. Amen. Yeah. We're living out our Christian life. We're living by faith. We're doing what God's called us to do and giving our tithes and offering. That should already be in our hearts, already stirred in our spirits. It should be a place that we're at. And if not, then I would encourage you and challenge you this morning to get there, to live a life of a giver. Amen. That's what God has called us to do. Our Heavenly Father is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. Okay? That is a response to love. And if we love God, we will give to our Father. Because he first loved us. He's worthy of it, and he deserves it. Now, also, we're not just giving just flippantly. You know, we're not just throwing our seed to the wind, to the, you know, scattered all over the ground. We're giving to our God. We're giving to a trustworthy source. Now, it would be the difference of, like, you got, like, this weird random phone call that we always get, you know, like, that your IRS has seized your accounts or, you know, whatever the scam of the week is. We all have gotten, like, something in the mail, a phone call of that, okay? If we could just give money to that, that would be unwise, right? That would not be a quality place to give our money towards. But the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, the one who loves us and sent his son to die for us, has commanded us in his word to be tithers, to be givers. Okay, to put seed into the ground, all right, into his church, into his kingdom, and to see that multiplied and to be used for his glory. And then in turn, God gets to do something that he wants to do in each one of our lives, and that is to bless us and to provide for us to not just meet our needs, but to do above and beyond that, amen? So when we give, we're giving into like the highest rated, forget 5 stars on Google, you know, this is like eternal stars. Of how trustworthy this source is to give your money towards, okay, is your God, okay? Because God gives us promises in his word. In Luke, okay, if you got your Bibles, turn there just real quick. Just one scripture that we may have heard time and time again, but we always need to have open ears, open hearts, and receive it maybe in a new way that God has for us today. Luke chapter 6, and in verse 38, it simply says this, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you." Amen. Now that right there is a promissory note of a quality investment. And even just beyond that, it's beyond just a financial interaction. It's a love. It's an intimate interaction with you and your God, with you and your Heavenly Father, you as his child. Okay, I know that if I told my sons I would do something for them, you know, if you do this, I'm going to honor you and I'm going to bless you in this manner. You know, It would be beyond me to sit there and like, oh, never mind, just kidding, just playing with you. You know, that would be horrible, right? Okay, God, who's so much above me, would never do that to each one of us. So I just want to stir, God wants to stir your hearts this morning towards him in a loving manner, okay? In response to his love, let's do what he did in his response to us, and let's give, okay? And the financial part is just one small portion of it, okay? It goes beyond finances. It goes to service in the church, to acts of love to those outside of the church, to enemies, to people who don't deserve it, okay? Kindness on social media. It goes into all these different things, okay? But here right now in this moment, talking about tithes and offering, okay, God wants to do something for you in your life. If you have need, then sow a seed, then honor his word, tithe and offering, amen? So let's be encouraged, let's be stirred in our faith that we can trust God, all right? And he will be faithful to the promises in his word and do something for us that we can't do for ourselves, all right? So let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes, and let's get ready to use our faith and to love on our God, and let's give to him. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you love us, and because you love us, you gave to us, God. And in the same response, because we love you, God, we give back to you, God. And we thank you that you have promises in your word that you will give to us exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. God, that what we give, you will take it, and you will multiply it, and you will bring greater provision and greater blessing back to us while we're doing the work of your kingdom, God. And we thank you for that. And I just pray a blessing upon these people, God. Stir their faith, God. And I thank you for that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, stand to your feet. Bring your tithe and offering to the front.
Was driving. Well, first, let me welcome the live streamers. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you have any prayer requests, please put them online. We have people that are watching our live stream here in the service, and they're writing down your prayer request, and we as a body of Christ will pray for you after at the end of the service. So please submit any prayer requests. I already have one, and we love to join our faith with you and see God move in your life. So please send us your prayer requests. Amen. Amen. Well, as I was driving this morning, like I got half of a message 2 days ago, and then you know how, I don't know if you've ever studied for a message, I'm the worst studier in the world. I really am, because my brain shoots 100 different directions, and I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to bring it in and say, here, this, only this, this is what I want you to focus on. So as I was driving this morning, I saw the trees, because fall is my favorite time of year. I love the trees. I love the colors of the trees. There's nothing prettier than that line of trees, but there has to be a red one in it, like one of those red ones. That's my favorite. And I was looking at it today, and as I was pulling out of my driveway, there's one of those right beside my driveway, and the leaves are falling. And it came to me, and I just thought, well, I guess it's okay, Lord. They have to fall so that the next season can come. And so that it can start all over again. And then I started thinking about us and our seasons and how if that season never stopped and it just stuck that tree right where it was at and the leaves never fell and they just stayed in time right there, the tree would never grow another more inch, right? The tree would be stuck in the state that it was in at that moment and would never grow again. So the leaves have to fall. Winter has to come. What I tried to think, I was not a science person, but I know there's got to be one in here, there are a few. The process of the tree growing, there's a name to it. Photosynthesis? Is that right? It really is right. Wow, that's the Holy Spirit then, because I don't remember stuff from high school like that. It's been quite many years. So there's a process that it has to go through, right, to become all it's supposed to be, to grow big, to do whatever the Lord has intended for that tree, to give out oxygen for us to breathe in, eventually to end up as a chair or, you know, whatever it is that the purpose for that is, it has to go through a process. There's no difference with us. We have to go through a process. And it's so funny, the words today, the Lord just keeps saying, I'm setting a stage for you, Regina. It, like every time that somebody was like, Laura would speak and then you spoke, and he's like, I'm setting the stage for you. Don't worry. Because we're taking you right there to the word that he gave that you must change. I saw something really cool on Facebook this morning as I was just like, when my brain starts to go too far, I look at something else real quick. So like I narrow it back and then it says, you cannot change your world if you don't change your mind. Cannot change your world if not change your mind. You can sit in this place 7 days a week, 2 hours of service, and hear the word of God nonstop, 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 hitting you right where you're at. Right? Hitting you right where you're at, going home reading the word. But if you choose to ignore what God is telling you and not receive his word as truth, you're never going to change. You're never going to move off of where you're at. Your season will never end. It will stay the same. It may even get worse because you refuse to change. It's at work, I cannot stand change. They want to change all the time. We just changed operating systems. At the beginning of this year, I had to learn a new operating system. Now we're changing the way that we receive tithes and offerings. So if you have not received an email, let me know. But we're changing that. We're going away from PushPay. Change. Change. All these younger generations, they love change. They like to see, I don't know if they just like to see us older generation squirm, but these people like change. But God likes change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And listen, I've tried to use this scripture on my coworkers so I don't have to change. But the word says he takes us from glory to glory, right? We're not to stay the same. I just want you to picture what your life was like before Christ. Not to look backwards, but to be grateful, right? Not to go back and be in that place and sit in that place and feel all the emotions of that place. No, to look back and say, God, thank you. You delivered me. Because when I look back and I see where I was at and I see where I'm at now, and I have in no ways made it anywhere. I'm still growing. I'm still human. I still have flaws. You've seen them, I'm sure. Right? Because there's no bigger microscope in the church than on the pastors. Let's just be real. Y'all know I'm real. And I'm flawed. Right? Thanks. I knew I'd get somebody say amen. But it's truth. We're all in process. But if you refuse to decide and to change the way you think and to change the way you have always done things, you will never move past where you're at. Let's think of why sometimes that happens. Why do you stay there? Why do you not want to move? Why do you not want to change? I really want to get your thinker thinking, because these aren't some things, until I self-examine with the Lord, I don't think about these things either. But I self-examine a lot with the Lord, because I always want my heart to be of love. And I'm a pretty rough person. I say things straight out. Y'all know that know me. The rest of you that don't know me yet, I am the sweetest person in the world. That's not a lie. That's faith. Oh, Philip's not sitting there. I thought he was just going to be. But let's self-examine for a minute. And let's say, what causes me not to want to trust God in what he says, and what causes me not to want to move forward and to take those steps that I need to take to get beyond who I was or get beyond this situation. Some people just like to party too much. Some people don't want to give up what they think is great in the world because it's got their heart. Alcohol, going out to the clubs. I don't even know what all the stuff, but it's been so long since I've done any of this stuff. I couldn't even name what sex without being married. Living together nowadays is not even a thing. People don't even care about it anymore, except for Christians, because we know that the word says no. And they're sinners. Sinners are going to do what sinners do, right? Like, there are certain things that just people love to do. And they refuse to give it up because they think that they're sacrificing something that is so great. Okay? Not that I think smoking is a sin. I think it's bad for your body. And I think it can send you to an early death, right? But I don't think it's a sin. I've never seen in the Bible where it says sin. If you think it is, you can show me and we can talk about it. I'm not debating, like, you know what I mean? But it can hurt your body. And this is the temple, right? What is so in that thing that's bigger than the love God has given you? Think about this. Like, this is how much we don't understand how things of the world grab a hold of us so much that we won't let go and go do the things of God. Right? That bottle of alcohol, is it really that good? Okay, now I've drank before because I didn't live a saved life. I didn't get saved until my mid-20s. So I have drank. And it's good. I didn't stop drinking because I didn't like it. Now, beer was nasty. Yuck. Yuck, yuck. I stopped because I couldn't go any further in the Lord hanging on to that thing. There's a choice. God or the ways of the world? Do I want him or do I want the world? And I don't know why anybody chooses the world, because it has done nothing good for you. And you say, oh, I've had a good life. Okay. What happens when you die? You can have a good life. You can be a good person. I know good people that aren't saved. Good-hearted people. And people say, oh, people can't be good if you're not saved. Yes, there can be. There can be some good people that just aren't saved. But guess what? When they die, they're going to face the same question we did. We are going to. Did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and did you live for him? Because if they say no, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But the scarier thing is, if you say yes, and you didn't live for him, and you didn't change, and you wanted everything in the world instead of him, and you tried to come in here and pretend every Sunday, every Thursday, every Wednesday, whenever you have service, and you tried to pretend that you were serving him, and you may have even laid hands on people, and people got healed. You know what? The gifts and call are without repentance. If he's given it to you, and you've walked in it, you're going to walk in it. That's the goodness of God for this person, not for me. Amen? The gifts work through me for him, for you. That's not for me. I've known people dead in sin. Giving words to people that were on point, accurate. Like, I'm sitting there so mad. I seriously am sitting there so mad. I'm listening to this, and I know that person's in sin. And they're reading somebody's mail in the spirit like you wouldn't believe. I said, God, I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. We're supposed to live a holy life for you. He said, Regina, the gifts and the call are without repentance. I said, okay. I said, many will come to me in that day. I say, God, did I do this? Didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I cast out devils in your name? And he said, I'm going to say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. What a sad thing for us in the church. What a sad thing for us in the church to get before a loving God. And we've said we've served him. We've pretended You know what? He sees everything. There's nothing hidden from his eyes. I know this seems kind of rough, doesn't it? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry. And I have to give you what God's given me, right? And sometimes it's not always flowery. And sometimes it's not, but it is, because this is love. This is love saying, watch your walk. Because why? Because he's coming back soon. And if you don't choose, like the word said today, if you don't choose to follow him, you'll be left. There's a day coming when the trumpet sound's going to sound, and we're going to be caught up with him in the air. I don't want to see you floating and me standing. I don't want to see me floating and you standing. This is a serious thing. This is an absolute serious thing in your life. Heaven and hell is real. And I'm sick and tired of the world saying that we're doing hate speech because we're talking about hell. How would anybody know that it exists if we stop talking about it? So they can be deceived to think that it doesn't exist, and they can live any old way they want to out in the world, and they go to hell never knowing, never hearing that you got a choice. Jesus is the choice. Amen? Amen. And some of you are saying, well, you know what? You don't know what I've done in my lifetime. You don't know what I've done. I've not been a good person. I've not been that good person you talked about that don't serve God, but I'm not good. I've done some horrible things. Huh. Haven't we all? I'm not saying that flippantly. Haven't we all? If you've hated your brother or hated a person, you committed a sin. If you lied, you committed a sin. If you slept around on your wife, your husband, you committed a sin. If you slept with your girlfriend, boyfriend before you got married, you've committed a sin. Right? We've all sinned and fallen short. That's why we need Jesus. He is the only answer. And he's the only way to salvation. There's no other door you can knock on. There's no other door you can kick in. And there's no way you can sit up in heaven and cry at judgment seat and say, but I didn't know. And just cry, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. Jesus is saying to you, was it fair when you sat in that seat praising me and shouting hallelujah and shouting amen and you weren't living like I told you to live? That you were living the way you wanted to live and you were doing things the way you wanted to do things? Was that fair? The only fair thing that's going to come in this world is the judgment of God, and it will be fair. It will be right. Amen? And the only truth that matters, listen, you can have a truth and I can have a truth. If it don't match up with the word of God and his truth, it don't matter. Neither one of our truths matter. That's why I don't want to think like me. Because I can get opinions and I can get thoughts. And I can hear things that causes me to believe one way that doesn't line up with the word of God. Why? Why would we listen to stuff like that? Why would we fall into things like that? Because we refuse to change. Admit we're wrong. We refuse to lay down pride. Whew. I felt that sweep across and hit me in the face. Right? Because one of the biggest things that a person deals with is your own pride. How are they going to think of me? What are they going to think about me? How are they going to see me? Who cares? If you're serving the Lord and you're following him and you're living a life of holiness, that's their opinion's not what you should be worried about. The only opinion that really matters and that you should be worried about is the opinion of Almighty God. Amen? And what his word says. What his word says. Now, I'm going to give a couple of examples in here. Because I want you to see that the Lord has he's so good to us that in his word, he provides examples for us to show that no matter what we go through, he's got us. If we follow him. Even if we sin. Let's talk about King David, right? I'll give a synopsis of King David real quick because I don't think I wrote that scripture down. But King David, became king, and he was one of the greatest kings. He loved the Lord God with all his heart. He was a shepherd boy. He served the Lord. That's when he got anointed king. And then he went through King Saul trying to kill him, and he stayed true to the Lord. When he became king, he looked over, saw this girl, liked her, and went and had her. You know what I mean? She gets pregnant. It so happens that she has a husband that's fighting on the battlegrounds. He comes home, and he is a good man. It says that he laid at the king's door because he wouldn't go home until this battle had been won. And David, because he didn't want his sin, found out that he had impregnated this guy's wife, had told the captains to put him at the front of the line in the battle so that he would be killed. That's what one of the greatest kings in the Bible did. That God loved. Listen, God loved King David. David loved his God. And so, the husband goes out, gets killed. David takes the woman. She has problems with the baby. The baby's having issues. He goes and he puts on sackcloth and ashes and he repents. That's why God loved King David. Because even though he messed up and he did things that he shouldn't have done by his flesh, he turned and repented and didn't make... I never saw once where David made an excuse for his behavior. Well, she was out there and she was doing this and she was doing that and she just... And this wife, she wouldn't give me any... You know. I'm trying to see if there's any... There is some kids in here, but you know. I know they know the word. I'm not saying it. And so it's her fault. I never once read where King David blamed anybody else for his own mistakes and his own actions, but he repented of them. That's why God loved him so much. So, did you go kill somebody? If you did, repent. Right? Because God's waiting to accept you. And I'm not going to preach on him, obviously, but you remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Y'all know who that is? Killed. He was a serial killer. And a cannibal. That's what they call him. Serial killer and cannibal. In prison, he got saved. Gave his life to the Lord. Where do you think he's at right now? In heaven. Absolutely, he's in heaven. King David's in heaven. Why wouldn't Jeffrey be in heaven? Because Jesus went to that cross and paid for all of our sins. Right? You think of killing somebody as a greater sin than lying to somebody. Have you ever lied to anybody? I have. I was good at it, too. I mean, if you're going to be a sinner, might as well be a good one, right? Now, I don't want to be a sinner anymore, and I don't lie anymore. And you can ask Philip. Now, there's things I've withheld from him that he never needed to know, or I didn't think he needed to know, but I've never lied to that boy. Probably to an extreme, I've never lied to that boy. Probably hurt feelings that I've never lied to that boy. And I probably could have pulled that back a little bit, but I didn't. Because I was never going to have him say, "My mom, you lied to me. You lied to me." Okay, I was going to say something, but I will not say it now. Like, there's some things I never told him to believe in, because I told him the truth from day one. This is from Jesus, not from... There's babies in here. You know what I mean. Amen? So, if he can forgive King David... Listen, David had malice in his heart towards that husband, right? Because you don't send somebody off to be killed with a good heart. With a right heart, with a heart after God. So in that instance, it shows us to be received by Jesus, we don't need to have lived a perfect life. Because if that were the truth, I'm looking around. None of us would be saved right now. If we had to be perfect for Jesus to accept us, we wouldn't be here. None of us. Unless there's one of you that's perfect, that... No, Carrie. No. Even your daughter says, mm-mm. Listen. Let me give you another example. Do you remember Queen Esther? So Queen Esther, I'll give you the story. You can read it in Esther, and I encourage you to go out and read Esther. Sometimes I think we give you too much, and you don't. And we give you so much that you don't have to go home on your own and read anything because we just read it all to you. I want you to go read. I want you to go seek it for yourself. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. You're not making it to heaven on my messages. You're not making it to heaven on Phil's messages. You're making it to heaven on your personal study time and your personal relationship with the Lord. This is to build you up, right? This is iron sharpens iron. This is us giving you the word and helping you in your walk. But the real studying should be at home with you, with God and your Bible, a concordance, whatever you need to study and to get into the Word of God. That's when your relationship is real, right? What was the point I was making before I said all that? Esther or Queen Esther? Yes. Please read Queen Esther. She is one of my favorite people in the Word. I love her. Because she had, as we know, the king, well, go read it. You can check me on my facts. But the king had another queen. She wouldn't do what he wanted her to do. So he basically kicked her out and went to find another queen. And in those days, there was a year-long process of sanctification that they had to go through before they can even go through before the king. And it says in there that the women that go before the king can request anything they wanted. Anything they wanted. And Esther had already found favor in the sight of the ones that were taking care of her. And she asked for nothing. She said, I'll take whatever you give me. Esther's heart was so pure and so good that she didn't demand anything. And she was beautiful. She didn't have an attitude that I'm beautiful and I'm going to take everything and I want everything. She was just a good-hearted woman. When I think of Esther, the pureness of who Esther was, Queen Esther. So she became queen, and she had an uncle. People call him uncle. You all know that I think it's her cousin, Mordecai. And he had overheard a plan from one of the king's men to kill all of the... you're okay, baby. Aw. That's serious. My baby. What are they doing to her? Do I need to go save her? I do. I'm about to. Can we take... No, I'm just kidding. So he had overheard a plot that Haman was doing to kill all Jews, which Queen Esther was a Jew. And so Haman went to her. And I will go to one section because I love it. Let me look at my book. Esther 4, 14 through 17. Mordecai, her cousin, uncle, whatever you want to call him, goes to her and tells her about this plan. And these are his words to her. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. And she says, go gather together all the Jews that are in present in Shushan and fast you for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my handmaidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. And what you don't understand is if you weren't invited into the king's space, palace, whatever it's called, if he didn't invite you and you walked in and he didn't reach out a septicles to you, you were dead. You got killed because you weren't invited into the king's presence and you came anyway. So that was what she was having them fast for, that she would go into the presence and she would not get killed. And of course, that's what happened. She found favor in his sight. And because of her actions, all of the Jews were saved. So here we have King David, who did sin, who did wrong, and God saved him out of it, right? Made him one of the greatest kings. Now here we have Queen Esther, who really didn't do anything wrong, but was put in the right place at the right time to save a people. I want you to see that no matter what your past, God has you. No matter if you've not done anything serious, whether you've done something super serious, God has you. Just follow him. Wasn't that the word today? I'm telling you, Marie, when you were telling that word, but I just knew the Lord had this laying groundwork because he wants you to get this. He wants you to get this. Time is short. Time is short. We don't have much more time. And I know we've been hearing that for years. Do you know you could walk outside? I could walk outside and something fall from the sky on my head and I could die. I am not promised tomorrow. I could be driving down the road and an accident happen and I go to heaven like that. I am not promised to even be here when the rapture comes. It is true. I've known people that I just thought, no way, gone. We've had some in our own congregation. Gone. In an accident, gone. And you're standing there in disbelief. But the Bible says, you're not promised tomorrow. So why are you waiting until tomorrow to fix it? Why are you waiting till tomorrow to serve him? Why are you waiting until tomorrow to lay down that thing that so easily besets you? Why are we waiting? You can get as mad, like that song says, even if they get mad at me, I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to say it anyway. Because my job is to love you. My job was to love Philip. And there ain't no boy on this earth that's been told more truths than that boy right there. Out of love. But it was harsh. Now, it should have been mixed with more love. Yes. I've learned that as I got older. Too bad I was so immature when he was born. I'm not immature anymore. Now, I'm not grown up fully, but I have grown up some. And I know that if I put it off and put it off and put it off, there's going to come a day I regret it. There's going to come a day I wake up and I could hear the words, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." I don't want to hear those words. I don't want you to hear those words. I want a seriousness of the Word of God to rise up inside of you. And it not just be, oh yeah, that's what my parents believe. Or that's what they, no, that's what the Word of God says. And that's why you should believe it. Don't believe anything I say until you get in here and prove it out. Listen, that doesn't hurt my feelings not one bit. Say, well, Pastor Regina, I'm just not sure that's correct. Good. Go find out. Go look for yourself and bring it back to me if I'm not, because I'll change. If I do say something that's not in this word, listen, I'm changing to what this word says. I've lived too long to think that I'm right. Right? Truly. I've been wrong a lot in my lifetime, and it's caused a lot of pain and heartache and issues. I want to be wrong again. I want to be, but I don't want to have my truth. I want his truth. You know, I was going to talk about the woman at the well. I guess I'm going to talk about the woman at the well because Phil's been hitting on her for the last two services, Sunday services, right? But I'm going to come at her with a different angle. Because, yes, all that happened, Jesus did that because he loved her. But think of her. Let's think of her for a minute. That was the town she grew up in, was it not? The city she grew up in is the well. She was at Jacob's well. And it was the city. So all those people knew her. Right? I don't think I can walk anywhere in Kitten where there's not a man's somewhere. Right? Right. No, truly. Like, when I first came over here, and Randy'd say, this is my cousin, this is my brother, this is this. I'm like, And then we had like Manses in here. They were like, their last name weren't, but they were related. And we're just like, who is it, a Mans? That's what we want to know. At this point, just who is it? Because they were all Manses. It's a good family. Now, don't tell Randy I said that. I'll deny it, deny it, deny it. But, so you get this woman. She goes to the well, and he's telling her, I got water to drink of that you know not of. His is living water that will save her soul, right? So he starts talking to her. And then he read her mail. Remember? That he reads her mail and says, you got five husbands, and you're living with one that's not your husband. Now think about a woman that's had five husbands. I got one. I don't know that I would remarry. This one's enough for a lifetime. But the pain that I would feel not having him, that I don't have to, thank you, Lord. But I'm saying, don't you tell him I said this either. I will hold every single one of you accountable. I will come and find you and hunt you down like a dog if you tell him what I'm saying. Is he watching it? He ain't watching it. They're driving. They ain't watching us. Boy, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out of this world. You better watch it. There's some certain things mamas get, right? We get certain rights. Snatch you out of this world. Anyway, I couldn't imagine my life without Phil, right? Everybody, think of that. And a woman that has gone through five times of that, how broken is she? What are the situations in her life that have happened with those five? Did they leave her? Did they cheat on her? Did they die? Should she cheat on them? You don't know because the Bible doesn't tell you. I just think of the heaviness of the weight of life on that woman who's had five and now just lives with the sixth, right? And when Jesus was telling her about herself, this is what I love about this woman, and this is why she was able to run into that city and save her city, because she didn't get prideful. She didn't get mad. She didn't get defensive. She let him tell her about herself and heard everything that he said and didn't fight him, didn't get up in anger and run. She listened to everything he said and allowed it to change her. Right? Allowed it. So much so that she ran into her city and said, come out here. This has to be the man of God because he has told me everything that I'd ever done. He read my mail. And you know these people knew her and they knew what she had done. And she's gone out to a community that has probably shamed, but you know, had shameful things they've said about her, have talked about her. You know how communities are. She went out there and she didn't care. She exposed herself to them and said, he told me everything that I'd ever done. Why did those people get healed and set free and get saved? Because this woman didn't care what people thought anymore. Because that woman stayed there to listen when she could have ran. She stayed there and got made whole and went and told people about her healed, about her wholeness. Amen? Amen. She chose. She chose not to be hard-hearted. She chose not to be mad. She chose not to keep bitterness inside of her. She made a choice. She made a choice. And we all have that choice in front of us today. Every single one of us have a choice that we have to make. And if you don't make it, you're making it. If you're ignoring it, you're making it. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose. Are you going? You say, I haven't chosen. Yeah, you have. You have. Because the only true choice that you have is to choose to serve the Lord and to follow him. The other choice, whether you believe he's real or whether you don't believe he's real, if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're serving the devil. He's deceived you. This is only weapons, deception. He goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And unfortunately, there are so many being deceived. And I know that some of you have heard this, but I don't think some of you have. What is the only place that is enlarged daily. Come on. Hell is the only place that is enlarged daily. Why? Because God never intended on any of us ever going there. He thought we'd choose him because of his love and his mercy and his grace. You have a choice. You have a choice. You either make it or you don't, but you've made it. This is reality. Jesus is real. He died. He went to that cross. He died. And he rose again on the third day. They have found his body nowhere. They can't. He's not dead. He lives. And he sits at the right hand of the Father for us. And the Bible says he's the only way to heaven. The only way to heaven. Just receive him in your heart. I believe. It says believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That's what you have to do. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. God, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died and you rose again, and I want you to be Lord over my life. You know what I did after? Yes, a lot of you know what I did after I did it. I ran to Phil. Philip was just a baby. I don't think he was walking. Just a baby. And I ran to Phil because he was working. I drove. I didn't run. But anyway. And I said, I just got saved. Because you have to confess to somebody. Right? And I was so hard and all that back then, and I didn't like people, so I didn't want to talk to anybody else, and Phil's really the only one in that town, because he and I moved away from both of our families, and so he was the only one I was going to tell. And he said, no, you didn't. Woo! Let me tell you what. There's been few times that I've wanted to fight Phil, like punch him in the face, and I wanted to at that moment, but you know what? If I didn't get saved, I would have. I really would have, because I was mad. But because I was saved, I said in myself, you can't hit him. You're saved. And I just screamed at him and said, yes, I am, and walked away from him. I was so mad. But you know what? I was saved. I believed in my heart, and I confessed with my mouth. That's all you got to do. It's a choice. And then it's a choice to walk after him. We have to live a life of holiness. We have to live a life of holiness. Oh, baby. She's not happy. I get it. If I don't get any sleep, that's how I act. I do. Give me some sleep. Don't let your love wax cold for the Lord. Because when do you start to walk away from the Lord? When do you start to do other things? Is when you don't keep your relationship at the forefront with the Lord. Bless her heart. Every mother in here saying, oh, sis, we got you. We know what this feels like. Bless your heart. We feel for you. What was I saying before that? I'm sorry. I'm getting old. I'm not old. But, you know, sometimes the thoughts come and go. You got to grab them when they're there. Don't let your love wax cold. That's what I was saying. Because as soon as your love waxes cold, your faith is gone. Right? There's no faith. And if you have no faith, you're not pleasing God. Two kind of work hand in hand, I think. Faith and love. We have to love one another, amen? And we have to love God. And not just with words. We're not saved by works, but our lives will reflect who we serve. The fruits should be there in your life of who you serve. And if you're walking around angry and screaming and mad all the time, something's wrong. If somebody can't say hi to you without you getting all mad inside, something's wrong. If somebody tries to say hi to you and you just turn away from them and can't say hi back, something's wrong. Who lives on the inside of you? Who lives there? Because my God wouldn't turn away from me when I'm saying hi to him. He just, everything in him could keep him from, nothing could keep him from me. Right? If I'm saying hi to Jesus, he is like, Regina, you're here. How are you doing today? He can't wait. No, you're not Jesus by any means, shape, or form. Good night. Don't allow circumstances and situations that is meant to be a season for you to grow in. Maybe a hard season, right? We've all had those hard seasons. And let's just be real with you. We've had a year hard season, and we're starting to see some light now, right? Phil and I have had a hard season. Some days, you just say, thank you, Lord, because I know you're God. And I know what you spoke. I know what you said. So seasons may be long. Do you give up on God because your season's long? Jesus, we would never have Isaac if Abraham and Sarah would have gave up. Well, their season was long. And then she was at the age where I'm at the age where I'm like, nah. Closed. This belly-making machine is closed. No. I'm 52. She's 90. Oh. I run after two grandbabies for 5 seconds, and I am so wore out, I can't believe it. Could you imagine a baby at 90? But it was a long season, but they hung on. How about Noah and the flood? How long did it take him to build that boat? A long time. It's a long season. A long season. But the promise of God came to pass. And he jumped in that boat with his family and those animals. And he was saved. Because he stayed the course of the season. And he kept his eyes on God. And he kept doing what God told him to do. Do you want to sink or do you want to swim? It's up to you. I don't know how much plainer that I can get it for those that are thick-headed like me. I'm telling you, I'm thick-headed. I still am that way in certain ways. And I'm working on it. Oh, Carrie. We're not even talking about thick-headedness, Carrie. Oh, I think he made a comment about me. You understand what thick-headedness is. Let's just say that, Carrie. We love each other. Amen. Thanks, Carrie. What was I saying? See, I'm human. Huh? Noah. Yes, being faithful, waiting. Waiting through your season. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. The season is long. The season is hard. Some of you may feel some effects of your season when Jesus comes back, but you don't give up. You make the choice to keep walking with Jesus and Him alone. Even if you don't have any energy in that day but to say, thank you, Jesus, that you've brought me through this. I thank you that it's done. I thank you. Not this season will never end. Will this ever stop? Those aren't the words you should be speaking. We heard today that the words of your mouth are important. The words that you speak over situations will form your world. God spoke and He formed our world. And you're made in His image. So why wouldn't you think that your words form things? Quit speaking death over your life. Quit speaking death over your marriage. Quit speaking death over your kids. Little brat, they just won't listen for nothing. Well, I guess not. I guess they're never going to listen either to hear you talk. No. And it may be the truth at that moment. Listen, I have a kid. I know how. I know how it gets. But I never called Phil stupid. I never called him dumb. I never called him a mistake. I've never called this boy a bad thing in his life other than a brat. I've called him that. Because he's spoiled. Trust me. He is spoiled. He is, isn't he? Yeah. Why? Because words will form him. Words will form your kids. Even before they're born. I didn't even know this. And of course, Philip don't know this, but I just lay there and rub my belly and talk to him. And say, because it didn't look good for us back then, because we were not saved. I was in sin, Phil's in sin. It was not a good time. Let's just say it was not a good time. And I'm just rubbing my belly talking to him. Don't worry, honey. No matter what, it's going to be okay. You know, mommy got this. And I just speak positive over him. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just knew that I didn't want him affected by any of the chaos outside. And so I just speak to him and tell him good things and that how much he was loved and how I couldn't wait to see him. Speak good things over your life. Speak good things over your bad times. Speak life over your bad situations. You got kids that are acting up, start speaking life over them. Start praying for them and out loud in front of them. Let them hear what you're praying for them. Let their ears take it in so that they know what you're praying for them. Boy, if you don't, Lord, if this boy don't straighten up, I'm going to hurt him. So I pray that you give him peace and you settle him down. Okay, no, I didn't pray that. That was a good prayer, wasn't it? No. Philip was a pretty good boy. He was a pretty good boy. Now today, you know, but he was pretty good earlier. No, I'm proud of him. He's a good son. He's a good man of God, and he loves God with all of his heart. So I usually bash him a lot, so I thought I'd tell you the truth. I just mess with you about other stuff, but he's a good boy. But come on. It's time. This is just almost a family talk at this point. It's just time. It's time to let anything go in your life. Unforgiveness is a killer of everything in your life. Do you know unforgiveness could bring sickness and disease upon your body if you have unforgiveness in you? It can. It can cripple you. And who are you hurting with this unforgiveness? You're not crippling that person. They're going on about life, doing what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. Your opinion of them isn't affecting them one bit. But you are affecting yourself. It doesn't matter if they don't deserve it. We didn't deserve what Jesus did for us either. Right? And the Word of God says, and I want you to look this up if you don't believe me, that if you don't forgive, the Father in heaven can't forgive you. So those who hold unforgiveness are not going to heaven. Why? Because there can't be. There's a reaping and sowing. You reap what you've sown. And if you sow forgiveness, you get forgiveness. Amen? But if you don't and you sow unforgiveness, he can't forgive you. And therefore, when you get to heaven, sorry, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. This walk with God is serious. It's life or death. Our lives do not stop when we die. It goes on for eternity. We live beyond the point that we die. Our bodies are gone, but our spirits are go up in heaven and meet with the Lord. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. Make your choice. Make your choice. Now, I am going to open it up right now. If every head would bow. We've talked a lot about heaven and hell and Jesus and the only way to heaven. If you're here, I was bowing my head too. I couldn't see if I bowed my own head. If you're here and you're saying, that's me, I've never received him as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to heaven, but I want to. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise your hand up? Don't be shy. Every single person in here that is saved has had this point in their life. Okay. We won't beg you. Jesus don't beg you. Jesus makes an offer, and you get to choose. Amen? All right. Well, I'm going to assume everybody in here is going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? We're going to walk the way Jesus told us to. We're going to love. We're going to have mercy. We're going to have compassion, and we're going to live a holy life. Amen? Amen. So we've got some prayer requests we're going to pray over. Let me grab this one. Prayers needed for Sybil. Is that how you say her name? Do you want me to read all this out or just pray? Just pray. Well, Lord God, we just lift Sybil up to you right now. Father God, I just right now bind the enemy's voice that has been in her head speaking to her. Right now, in the name of Jesus, every foul word that the enemy has spoken over her, I call it to go in Jesus' name. Lord, spirit of suicide, I tell it to go in Jesus' name. I speak life to her, Father God. I speak life over her and healing over her mind, body, and soul. Lord God, you are not just interested in one part. You're interested in the whole part of us. And Lord, I speak health and healing, life, peace, and joy to come to Sybil right now. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for it. Amy, you know her personally? Reach out to her and talk to her. She's ready to hear. Okay? Just reach out and just tell her how much Jesus loves her. She's ready to hear. Even if she acts like she's not, it's open and she's ready. She's going to be a witness for him. I believe that with everything in me. All right, Randy, we pray for you in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just pray that you go and you touch Randy right now. Heal him in the name of Jesus. Sickness, come out of his body in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for touching Randy, and all of his symptoms are gone in Jesus' name. You and Haley Smith are in sync on your prayer request. Father, Jeannie has been under attack with this sickness in her body, and we just call it to an end right now in Jesus' name. We speak your word that the stripes of Jesus has healed her, and she is healed. And Father, we thank you for her healing, and we thank you for a quick manifestation of it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we curse this flu and Karen right now in Jesus' name. And we tell you, flu, come out. Come out of her in Jesus' name. And we speak health and healing to Karen right now. Right now, we send your word. And you healed her disease. And we thank you that she is healed in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that you've given us a lot to think about. And Father, as we walk away from here, anything, Lord, in us that you need us to correct and fix, speak to us. Let us self-examine with you, Lord. Not with another person, but with you. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to want to change, Lord God. I want to change. Help us to see the seriousness of the day that we're in. And Lord, as we walk across people's paths, let us be ready to be your hands and feet and your voice. And let us speak with your words to them, with your heart and with your love, Father God. And Lord, even if they reject us, we still show your love. And we're sowing a seed, or we're watering a seed. And maybe we'll even be the person that gets to harvest the seed. But Lord, let us speak, because we'll never do any if we keep our mouth closed. Let us make the choice for you and rise up and run in your direction, Lord God, and never stop. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, did I tell you Pastor Phil was out hunting or on his way to North Carolina? They do this every year, this time of year. And so he'll be back with us next week. He misses you, but he gonna have fun, you know. So we'll meet again next Sunday. If you are paying for your t-shirt, see Philip. He's going to take that up for me. And who has seen the women's Christmas sign-up sheet, the original? If you accidentally picked that up with your Bible or a paper out there, would you please give it back to me? No questions asked. We won't interrogate you or anything. I just need the paper back. So if you see that paper somewhere in your possession, even just go put it back on the thing. You don't even have to give it to me. Just like slip it there when nobody's there and walk away. Okay? We love you all. And we're back here Thursday night at 7 or next Sunday at 10. Thank you all. Have a great day.